The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I know that we all understand it doesn't take long to look around at society and the world in which we're living. We live in a world that is a confused and chaotic world. I think we also have probably all heard the phrase, the mind of Christ. We also should understand that we read about the mind of Christ in several places in the New Testament. First and foremost, I want us to remember that the mind of Jesus Christ is a precious, priceless treasure. Let us remember that the mind of Jesus Christ is from God, our Heavenly Father, who is Spirit. So go with me to John chapter 24, John 24. We know this verse. We're going to probably for most of us, we're not going to be reading any verses today that we are not very familiar with, but we're putting it together maybe in a unique way. John 4, verse 24. John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Also, brethren, let us remember and consider the point that while Jesus walked this earth as a human being, he had God's spirit, and he also had God's mind. In John 14 and verse 9, John 14 and verse 9, Jesus makes the statement to Philip. He says, well, it's to all of the disciples, Philip is the one who asked, and he says, Philip, if you know me, you would know the Father. Earlier, back in John 10 and verse 30, Jesus also made this statement, I and my Father are one. Let us also remember that Jesus always did those things that please the Father. John 8, verse 29, John 8, verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The point that we realize is that they, Father and Son, were of the same one spirit and of the same one mind. And brethren, they had the same plan. They had the same purpose. They had the same perspective, and they had the same processes and the same procedures in mind. And whatever they undertook to do, they were in agreement. They were the same. Therefore, brethren, as we go about looking and learning more and more about the mind of Jesus Christ, we also learn more about the mind of God the Father. I have entitled this message, The Mind of Christ. In this message, let us examine some, and I'm saying some because we're not going to see all of them, but some of the scriptures that help us to understand that mind more fully. So I'd like for us to begin by asking some questions for us to consider. First of all, what is this wonderful mind like? Does the Bible actually tell us? What are its chief characteristics? And another, I believe, important question for us to consider is, how can we know we have the mind of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul asserted to those faithful brethren in Corinth that they had the mind of Christ. We read that statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. So go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? The B part of that verse, the next part of that verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. And brethren, let us all understand, let us realize that that statement is also true about God's begotten children today. I mean, please realize that 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 declares that we already have the mind of Jesus Christ. So hopefully, we both understand and appreciate what having the mind of Jesus Christ means, and that we also understand and appreciate what are the responsibilities that accompanied such a priceless gift. Now, in the New Covenant, mankind's behavior is connected to both our heart, meaning, in this context, the seat of emotions, as well as to our mind. God's word is very clear that the mind of our old, stubborn, sinful man is to be changed. Step by step, God intends that we become transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know that statement. You know exactly where that statement is, and we're going to see that. The Greek word that is translated here as transform means to change into another form, to transform, to transfigure. And brethren, I hope we also understand this is where we get our English word from. This Greek word, we get our English word metamorphosis. You know, the butterfly, the cocoon changing into a beautiful butterfly. I also want you to understand this is a much bigger topic than we're going to cover here. But go with me, though. Please go with me to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. In other words, what I'm saying is we're going to read this. We're going to focus on it just a moment, but we're not going to explain all of it and go into all of the details about this. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that or so that you may prove, or that you are able to prove, what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. Because you see, brethren, even though we as God's begotten children have the mind of Christ, we still live in a world of flesh, of temptations. You can be baptized, you could have hands laid on, you could have the Holy Spirit within, Jesus Christ living in us. It doesn't take us out of the flesh, it doesn't remove all temptations. But what we're seeing here is that we are never to conform to the world's standards. However, we are seeing that we are to conform to God's mind. We're to conform to His will, and we are to conform to His standard. All of these are to eventually produce a totally mature, spiritually mature child of God who is conformed to God's image, spiritually speaking. Because we already are in the image of God. We know that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And we do this, by choosing and proving God's will over and over as His Holy Spirit leads us. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So one important way for us to know God gives us the mind of Jesus Christ is our understanding of spiritual things. Remember, I started off by saying we live in a chaotic and confused world. They don't have the mind of Jesus Christ. They don't understand spiritual things. We can understand spiritual things. Discernment, being able to discern the physical and the spiritual. Discernment is a mental activity. It is accomplished through the mind, and the natural man does not understand spiritual things, but we do. You see, brethren, understanding spiritual things requires a spiritual mind. It requires the mind of Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and as an understood, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Discernment is a mental activity, a spiritual activity in the mind. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He is telling the Corinthian brethren. I said this earlier. I'm saying it again after reading this to this point. He's telling them, you have the mind of Jesus Christ in you. In other words, you can understand these spiritual things. The world can't. You can. They can't. Because you see, brethren, God intends that we respond appropriately to the gift of the mind of Jesus Christ. And for us to do that, we have to cooperate with God, being totally submissive to this new mind in us. This is described for us over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. So would you go with me to there? Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's another translation that it's not the word let, it's allow. It's available to you. It's available to us. It's not available to them. It's available to the body of Jesus Christ, the children of God. It's not available yet to the world, but it is to us. Allow this mind to be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And brethren, please also understand, let this mind be in us is not a passive approach. I mean, it is an indispensable, crucial and fundamental approach to the mind of Christ that requires us to be alert, requires us to be ready to respond to any and all situations in God's way. Remember, we live in a chaotic and confused world. They cannot respond appropriately because they do not have discernment of spiritual things. We do. The mind of Jesus Christ does not hesitate. It does not waver. It does not vacillate. No, it is steady, and it is a sound mind. Paul wrote to Timothy about that mind. It is a mind of power. It is a mind of a can-do-all-things through Jesus Christ mind. Go with me. You know where this is. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so, brethren, it is a mind aware of the magnitude of the power of the Father that He has given to Jesus Christ, that He, in turn, has given to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's available. Go with me to Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It is a mind of the love of God being shed abroad. Romans 5 and verse 5. Romans 5, verse 5. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Now I want you to go back with me to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. We read it. I want to read it again because I want to make another comment. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So again, brethren, we also notice that the mind of Jesus Christ is a sound mind. It is a mind that has integrity. It is a mind that is honest. It is a mind that is truthfulness. It is not, please understand, it is not a mind of depression or confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Did he say this is in the world? Did he say this is the way the world is? No, he's describing the church. He's the author of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints. Yes, it is a mind of order and stability. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Is that describing the world? No. It's describing the very opposite of the world, because exactly what is in the church is the very opposite of what is in the world. So, brethren, please realize, it is also a mind of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, discipline. Please go with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, this is the mind of Jesus Christ, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And brethren, we also need to understand that God expects us to grasp, to gird up the loins of our minds. I'm using that phrase because that's what the verse says. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. It's a mind that does that. It's a mind that is, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, at the return of Jesus Christ. This is going to be full blown in us. this the exactly the way Jesus Christ is. We're to let it be there today. It's there. This refers that we are spiritually clothed appropriately, and it also is inferring that we are ready for what is to occur. Now, there's a lot more to this subject. Easily, I'm not saying there's going to be, but easily there could be a part two to this sermon. I'm telling you right up front. And so as believers, we need to exercise this quality of the mind of Jesus Christ in us in order, as we read here in this verse, in order to help protect our hope and our faith in God's grace. Is there an implication here? Wherefore gird up the mind, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ or the coming of Jesus Christ. Is this saying that if we aren't using the mind this way, that this isn't going to happen this way? It's exactly what he's saying. But he's saying it in a positive way. Do this so that this will happen. And so we need to be aware. We need to be very much aware that we have the mind of Jesus Christ. We need to use the mind of Jesus Christ. So, brethren, here I want us to notice several other things that the mind of Jesus Christ can and will do for us as believers. First of all, if you want to use them as points, you can do that. Bullets. The mind of Jesus Christ is a mind that seeks to please God as Jesus did. John 8 and verse 29, the B part of the verse. For I do always those things that please him. We need to realize that from the very beginning, from the outset here. This is the mind that we have in us. The mind of Jesus Christ, he did all things to please the Father. Can we say that is true about us? We can state that it is possible for us, do we? Do we? Next, the mind. Remember, we're going to notice several things that the mind can and will do for us as believers. The second one that I have here is the mind of Christ is a mind that seeks God's will. And it is to realize that we are helpless to accomplish anything of lasting value without God's peace and judgment. John 8 and verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And then go to John 5 and verse 30. John 5 and verse 30. I can't, Jesus speaking, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That's an aspect of the mind of Jesus Christ in us. Because you see, brethren, those who are sensitive to the mind of Christ in them are those who will walk as Jesus walked. This infers the believer will be making choices that Jesus would make. The mind of Christ will think on the real positive issues. It's not going to focus on the negative. Are there negative things in our world? Yes. Are they brought to our attention? Yes. All you have to do is turn on the radio, turn on the news, turn a song, almost anything that is coming out of the world is going to show us the other side of this. This is how we're to be thinking. Philippians 4 and verse 8. You know this. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why would we have to be reminded that this is what we need to think on? Because it's bombarded to our mind the very opposite of this. We need to be aware of, we have the mind of Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ living in us. We can do this. This is what we're to think on. We're not to think on all these negative things. Are they there? Yes. This is what we are to be thinking on. Brethren, having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to overcoming sin. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to not giving way to the devil. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to being a shining light. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to purifying our hearts and our minds. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key of being transformed by God's new way of thinking. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to altering our behaviors to please God. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to giving us the willingness to sacrifice what our Father requires. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to loving God most. And having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to putting God first. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to being joined correctly to the body of believers. Having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to not putting self first. And brethren, having the mind of Jesus Christ is the key to loving our neighbor God's way. That's a list of 12 things that having the mind of Jesus Christ can and will do for us. Of course there are additional benefits that this list does not cover. Of course there's other things. It is through the work of God, through Jesus Christ, through His work, through His word, and His mind, that we will be truly free from all sin and our corruptible flesh. Brethren, having the mind of Jesus Christ is another way of saying that Jesus Christ lives in us. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Brother, we need to make it our top priority to abide in him. Seeking him first. Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go with me to 1 John 4:13. 1 John 4:13. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit. Remember, I already said, they're the same mind, they're the same spirit. If we have the Spirit of God in us, we have the mind of God in us. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. You see, brethren, when we are perfectly conformed to our Savior and perfectly conformed to His mind, we will be spiritually mature and we will be ready to be changed and we will be ready to live with God forever. So again, brother, I make the statement, as we look about the conditions of the world today, I think we would all agree. It becomes very obvious the people of the world are in real chaos and confusion. They, too, desperately need to have the mind of Jesus Christ. There really is no other way. It really is the only way to real sound-mindedness and peace, which we all know this is what the world needs. It needs the mind of Jesus Christ. And I sort of like brought us all the way to here, told us all of those things that we stated to tell you this. Brethren, according to God's world, they, the people of the world, are waiting for us. They are waiting for us to fully have the mindset of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That's what we're looking forward to. You can put in other verses, you know, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Also, 1 Thessalonians 4, we're waiting for this to happen. We're waiting for this to happen. Verse 18, come back here to Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. I want to read that again. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for us. That's what it says. For the creature itself was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. God created it this way. He needed to have a plan where that he worked with a limited number of people now to get on board, to have the mind of Jesus Christ, to actually be living this way of life, so that whenever the masses are resurrected. I know this could be a Feast of Tabernacles or Last Great Day. This is not, I'm just saying. Was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. The world didn't have anything to do with it. People in the world didn't have anything to do with this. God did it, who has subjected the same in hope. Now read verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what the world needs. The world needs the mind of Jesus Christ and all that we've covered. The world needs us to be letting this mind be in you. Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. letting the might of Jesus Christ exist. Let it do what it is supposed to be doing for all of us. We are part of the solution to the world. The mind of Jesus Christ. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all, brethren. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.